Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my friends. How are you guys today? This is Nicole. Welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. So happy to be with you guys today. If you're a fan of the podcast, you know that every other week I do an interview, either a real-time heal or a success story or an interview with a colleague or somebody who's bringing important information. And every other week, it's just you and me. And today, it is just you and me. And I'm going to tell you that the topic we're going to cover today is something I have been struggling with probably my whole life and also really passionately sitting with. And it's funny that I use the word passionately. We'll get to that, how we can passionately sit still, passionately stay quiet. So it's very, really, really kind of a nuanced, important topic to me. So I'm excited to talk to you about it today. In terms of opportunities to work with me, I just this morning created a second inner child mini retreat. So the first one I created, and it sold out in 2 days, and I got a lot of people emailing me and saying, wait, how does a virtual retreat sell out? But it's because there's limits on the amount of people that can be on Zoom calls. So I just created another one. It is March 28th from 12 to 2 p.m., and that's Eastern Standard Time, but it will be recorded. So all time zones are welcome. You will not be shut out. It will be recorded. You will get the entire thing if you are a ticket holder. So if you're interested in signing up, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the Resources tab or the Retreats tab. Both tabs have a link to sign up for that 2-hour mini retreat. It's $45, and it will be me live and in person teaching my inner child work. And it's such important work. It's such life-changing work. I cannot tell you what it's done for my life and what I watch it do for people everywhere. So, okay. That and another one last thing I want to say about working with me directly is I do have a full weekend retreat, virtual retreat planned for May 21st through the 23rd. My Omega instructors, the people coming with me to Omega, will be with me on the retreat teaching their lessons, somatic experiencing, self-care yoga, self-love, mind-body-spirit work with Athena, and so much of the stuff that I bring. I really pack it in the virtual retreat weekend. So please come join us if you'd like. I do not know how quickly that one will sell out, but it does seem to really ramp up the last couple months before the event. And May 21st through the 23rd is just about 2 months from now, a little over 2 months. So anyway, join us if you would like. I would love to see you there. Okay, I'm trying to think about any other housekeeping I have right now. I don't know, just come follow me on Instagram. I'm there every single day putting out new content at Nicole Sachs, LCSW. And any information you would ever need would be at thecureforchronicpain.com. If you're new to the work, tons of resources about Journal Speak and everything that I do. So there you go. Okay, so today we are going to talk about the concept of the slower you go, the quicker you get there. And I know that is such an annoying phrase because it's not just you. As people, as a biological human being, you are hardwired to want to be in action and get something done. You are hardwired to want to know that you can have a checklist and know that if you do the hard work, you will get the result that you want. And I think that one of the main things I hear from people when they are doing this work is that they want to know when it's going to work for them. They want to know when they're going to get better. They want to know how they can work harder or what they can do next or how many books they have to read or what kind of journaling practice they need to do, how they can do it right, how they can do it for the right amount of time. And You know, I have to tell you, as much as I completely empathize with this plight, it's just the minds, it's such a non-human, non-typical human mindset we have to get into, that staying still, that being quiet, that receiving instead of pursuing, that not forcing a conclusion is the quote unquote quickest way to get to the peace that you're looking for. Now, the word quickest, you know, in itself is a problem because I don't want to look for speed. But, you know, when I say the phrase, the slower you go, the quicker you get there, I have to acknowledge speed is an aspect of our desire, our wanting to be better. And so here we are. Here we are together wanting to figure out how to heal. So there's a lot of ways that people are looking to heal, right? We have anxiety and depression, emotional unsteadiness, stuckness, feeling like the joy for life is just escaping us, feeling like it should be more beautiful than this and we don't know how to find it. So there's emotional health going on here. And then there's physical health. Back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, fibromyalgia, migraines, stomach issues, skin issues, symptoms of autoimmune disease, pelvic pain, etc. And then there's a combination of the two because they really do flow back and forth within the whole human paradigm. On some days you might feel anxiety, and on other days you might feel stomach aches, and on other days you might feel headaches or back pain, and it's really all coming from the same place. And if any of this is sounding like total foreign language to you, please know that there are so many resources to figure out exactly what I'm talking about. I just can't recap it in every episode, but go to the resources page of my website. Tons of information on the mind-body connection and what exactly is happening in your body. So the reason I bring this up today, the reason that today is the topic, is because what I'm understanding for my own energetic needs is that there is a huge magical benefit, a huge power in the staying still, in the allowing for the quiet, and in allowing for me to not feel like I have to pursue everything. You know, if maybe for you guys, it's like pursuing your healing or wanting to feel better or vigilantly watching your symptoms or your moods and saying, you know, am I better? Am I worse? Like, I want to feel this way. Maybe it's that for me, because I'm a person who no longer suffers from any chronic conditions, emotional or physical, because I've been doing this work for so long. My desperation, my drive, my desire to force things has to do with getting my work out there. You know, I see how it's helping people all over the world, especially now with the addition of this COVID long haul stuff that people are going through, and me hearing from people. Literally, I am now after last week's episode with Lika about the COVID long haul and about her complete recovery from her horrible, debilitating COVID long haul symptoms after doing my mind-body work. I have gotten emails from people all over the world saying, oh my God, I finally understand what I need to do for myself. And a couple people who have already done it for themselves, who similar to Lika were doing the work, I just hadn't heard from them, saying that they are completely recovered from their COVID long haul symptoms from doing this work. So I am, like, you know, wanting to pursue the energetic world. I'm wanting to say, hey, everybody, listen to me. I have this solution. And, you know, what I'm finding, because of course I'm not just an ambassador for this work, I'm also a human being. What I'm finding is that my peace, and even maybe my power, may need to come from sitting still, from having faith in the process, and from allowing the energy of the work, when where the work is needed, to come to me. That maybe my desperation and my drive to get it out there is actually stealing from the process. It's not only stealing from me emotionally, which it certainly is, but it might be stealing from the energy of the universe, which has a natural flow to bring you what you need. Some people call it the law of attraction. I don't know enough about that phrase. I know it's a controversial phrase to call it that, but it's an intuition that I can tap into, that I know in myself, which is when I relax, when I stop trying to force a conclusion, when I stopped trying to be something, to necessarily achieve a thing that would give me the A or the check plus or the, you know, atta girl, that's you're going in the right direction. And I sit in my center when I get quiet, when I allow myself to engage with my own knowing, things start to happen not only more quickly, because we have to use the Q word sometimes, but more peacefully, more right, more in alignment with who I am. So obviously I'm going through this, and you know, most of these podcasts, certainly the solo ones, tend to be me trying to use my personal experience to help you. And when I thought about the fact that I'm going through this, I thought about the fact that if there's one thing I hear from people over and over and over again, it is an energy of desperation to be well. Many people who come to my work have been suffering with either a chronic condition or anxiety or something that they were told was a diagnosis that had no cure and they'd have for the rest of their life. And they've been struggling for a really long time. And they've spent tons of money and tons of mental and emotional energy. And they feel that they've wrung out the people around them and that they are just sick of it. They are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they find their way to my work. And those people tend to be, understandably so, really freaking done with it all. They want to be better. They're like, okay, Nicole, you say that this works. Fine. Give me the stuff. Tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. And I want to be better. And unfortunately, that desperate energy is sending the wrong signals to the brain and the nervous system. So let's actually talk science for a moment. As you know, if you know about my work, the reason that we suffer in chronic pain and conditions and anxiety and depression and all the emotional and physical states of misalignment and de-equilibrium is because our brain and our nervous system view our stored trauma and our repressed emotional world as a greater predator than our physical dis-ease, our pain conditions and emotional states of discomfort. The reason is because life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, and the nervous system is operating on a plane of either fight or flight or rest and repair. Either you're not safe or you're safe. And that's how the brain and the nervous system determines whether or not we need to be ready, you know, at the ready to fight or to flee or to freeze. And so since your emotional world is viewed as a greater predator than your physical situation, until we can inform the brain and the nervous system that it is safe and it is loving to feel our feelings, to express ourselves, if only to ourselves, which is why journal speak is a very private practice. This is not about righting all the wrongs in your life or telling off your partner or making sure your kids know exactly how you feel. This is really personal. It's an act of self-love and it is for you. And so because that's happening here and because that is the absolute reason that we are constantly in this state of sort of licking our wounds because, you know, being in a state of any physical or emotional chronic state means that we are getting smaller and quieter and taking care of ourselves, which is ultimately what the nervous system is seeking for us. And so when we're doing that, we are giving the nervous system, even though it's really misguided, an impression that we're safe, right? I have a migraine. I'm going to lay down in my bed. I'm going to turn off the lights. I'm going to be quiet. Actually, that gives a message of safety to the nervous system, which keeps us right in the migraine, but it allows the nervous system to relax enough that we aren't constantly fighting this emotional world, this repressed emotional world, whether it be trauma or just stored emotions from rising. And so the problem with wanting this to work quickly or being the desperate energy that can come from wanting to be well, and wanting to do it right, and wanting to be good, and wanting to be perfect, and all the things that so many of us bring to the table in this lifetime that leads to this incredible emotional reservoir building up. The problem of that desire, that desperate desire, is it just sends the nervous system more signals of fear. Desire to be different than we are, a desperate need to be better or to be done, is read by your nervous system as fear. And fear is the issue that it's fighting against. It's fighting against the fear rising, the shame rising, the anger rising, the grief, the sadness, the regret, the embarrassment, all the things that we would rather not look at. And as they attempt to rise, the nervous system sends signals into the body of discomfort and of illness and of disease. And that is why we're sick, because it has to be expressed somewhere, because our issues are in our tissues, because the body keeps the score and all the things we talk about. So we're sitting here doing this work, good students, A students, all of us, trying to alleviate the hold that the chronic conditions have on our body. And in the process, we want to be ready. We want to be well. We want to be done. We want to be fixed. We've been on this road too long, and fuck it, we want to be there. The problem is with that forcing a conclusion, that desperately running towards something, that needing to pursue, the problem with that is we are sending the exact opposite signal, whether it be to the energy of the universe, which is where I am, or to the energy of your own brain and nervous system. We are sending a signal of danger. And that signal of danger is making it all the harder to excavate that reservoir of pain and sadness and fear and anger and shame and grief, etc. So, now that I have sort of pled my case here, what does it feel like to sit still and be quiet and allow instead of pursue? I'll tell you personally, for me, it feels really scary because I am a person who feels comfortable when I'm in action, when I have a to-do list, when I can check it off, when I can tell myself at the end of the day, when I lay my sweet head on the pillow, that I'm doing everything I can to fulfill my dream, to pursue my goal. And, you know, for me personally, just like, because I guess I'm the one talking, so I get to tell you for me personally, I'm terrified to not have everyone on the planet know about this work. I'm terrified because it matters so much to me that people heal and evolve and are present for their children and their partners and their work and their good work. You know, when I think about the things that are important to me, about all our of peace and unity and climate change and all the things that are important to me, just because my heart, I'm so empathic, and my heart connects so deeply to the plights of our globe and our people and our communities and our societies. I'm scared that if this message doesn't get out quick, more people are going to suffer, more people are going to die, more people are going to take their lives, more people are going to just be so sad and scared and quiet. And like, I'm like, oh man, that's hard. But you know what? Feelings aren't facts. And just because I have that desperate feeling doesn't mean that my work is any better done by engaging in it, because I have pursued and pursued my whole life. I'm 48 years old, almost 49. I have pursued my needs. I won't even call it my dreams, my needs, my desperate needs for things to be buttoned up in a certain way. And it is an act of fear. It is an act of fear. So what happens when I try to change the tone? When I try to sit back and say, okay, and by the way, being quiet and sitting back and not pursuing and not forcing a conclusion is not doing nothing. It is most importantly not doing nothing. I am sitting here at this microphone recording a podcast for you. I'm on Instagram every day putting out the material that I feel will help you take the reins and empower yourself with your own healing. I'm creating retreats and mini retreats, virtual and in person, every chance I can get. I am networking. I'm being interviewed on other people's podcasts. So I'm doing the things, but it's the energy of trust, of quiet, of stillness, and of not desperately needing the things that I'm doing to have a certain outcome, not attaching to needing that outcome, that's changing my inner peace. And my inner peace, I can now see, I'm now getting the intuition and I understand, will lead to a more I mean, I hate to keep using the word quick, but I will get where I want to be more readily and more rightly and more fully and more open-heartedly by doing this than by continuing to just take my fingernails and rip through the veil after the veil after the veil. Because although that does work, you know, life fueled by fear does bring you places, as does life fueled by love, but there is a side effect to it that leads to a lack of ease and comfort for me. And I think also a lack of ease and comfort with my dance with the energy that I need to dance with in order to manifest what I want to manifest. So this is my language is sounding a bit more hippy dippy than I want it to, but I hope you can get the picture. Please don't count yourselves out if you're not a person that believes in sort of mystical talk, because it's really not just about the law of attraction and abundance. It's just about your personal peace. You know, it's funny. I used to speak in person a lot, and I would talk to lecture halls of thousands of people. And when I would talk to them, one of the things I would always say is, the only question I'm looking out on many faces, many different faces from many different walks of life. The only question that really matters is, how do you feel today? Because this is the only day we get. If it's not happening today, it's not happening. So how do you feel today is really the only question. Because if I can say, hey, listen, I'm in the middle of this, this, and this. I'm in month 12 of this COVID situation. I've got these kids that are feeling sad or feeling stressed or feeling stuck. I've got, you know, whatever issues going on with my family. I've got whatever issues going on with my work. But how do I feel today? Do I feel seated in the center of myself? Do I feel at peace? Ask that question to yourself, because really, if you can say yes to that, there's not that much else that is that important. So like the way this translates to you is, I'm sitting here and telling you, the nervous system perceives your repressed emotional world and your stored trauma as a greater predator than your physical pain, and it must choose one or the other. The nervous system is not a subtle, nuanced kind of guy. It's fight or flight or rest and repair. And so if we're in fight or flight because the emotions are there and threatening to rise, and we're not being true to ourselves, and we're not speaking our minds to anyone, even ourselves, and our issues are being expressed through our tissues and all that stuff, if that's going on, and I'm sitting here and telling you, I have a solution. The solution is three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. Believe means you can't get far if you're thinking that what I'm saying is impossible bullshit. And your medicalized brain, because probably you're older than 10, so you're probably somewhat of an adult listening to this. And so you've been shown and trained that if you have a physical problem, or if you have a problem that feels like it's expressing itself through your body, even if it's in anxiety, it requires a physical solution, a pill, a diet change, a surgery, an injection, a manipulation, a massage, acupuncture. And I'm not saying that all of these things are bad. I'm just saying we've been trained that a physical problem requires a physical solution. And what I'm saying is that's actually not true. It doesn't mean that some of those physical interventions can be helpful if fueled by love. But what's really going on, and I've been doing this for 20 years and seen people from all walks of life completely regain their lives in absolutely stunning form, is that when we look instead toward this emotional world that is threatening to rise, and we allow it to rise safely, which is the do the work portion, which is the journal speak practice and the meditation practice, when we allow this to happen, the physical symptoms no longer fire, and it is the capital T truth, my loves. So if I'm saying that, obviously in this sort of energy of me saying don't pursue and don't force the outcome and don't require certain things to happen for you to be okay and don't rush headlong into life, rather allow it to come to you. When I'm saying that, I am not saying that you don't do the work, just like I'm not saying that I don't do all the things I just listed that I'm doing. What I'm saying it is, we do the work with a different energy. So I teach a journal speak practice. You know, you can learn about it all over the place with my resources. Once you sit in your belief and suspend your disbelief if you need to, listen to the podcasts, if you need to read a couple books, Dr. Sarno's Mind Body Prescription, my book, The Meaning of Truth, whatever you need to get yourself into the space of belief, and then you do the work. It's a 30-minute commitment each day. It is not a lot to ask. 20 minutes of journal speak followed by 10 minutes of loving kindness meditation. If you do that, and then throughout your day, practice patience and kindness for yourself. When you screw it up, whatever it is, say, put your hand on your heart, say, I'm human. I'm doing the best I can. I can be quiet. I can be peaceful. I can have faith in the process, and I can let it unfold. I don't have to desperately need and want something to happen. When I wake up the next morning and I'm in pain still, I can just continue to do what I did yesterday, which is breathe, practice my belief. I know that I'm on my way somewhere. My nervous system is like a small child that needs to trust. It's not ready to let go of the pain yet. That's okay. Let me do the work. I'm going to do my 30-minute practice. Let me practice patience and kindness. Now I'm going to wake up the next day. After you do that for a certain amount of days, what's going to happen is you're going to start waking up in less and less pain, in less and less anxiety, in less and less suffering. And then what's going to happen is one day you're going to get an email from your brother, or your boss is going to say a thing, or your kid is going to be going through a hard time, or your husband or your wife or your partner or whatever. Something's going to happen and you're going to wake up that day after that and you're going to be in horrible pain and you're going to say, oh, I'm ruined. This is terrible. Nothing I do matters. And I'm going to invite you on that day to once again say, I'm going to breathe hand to heart. I'm just going to keep doing the work, because all your nervous system and your brain are looking for is your input that you are safe. Sometimes there will be a stimulus that throws you into a situation of brief unsafety. You will never, or perceived unsafety, you will never be back where you started. Every bit of your work matters. So I need you to know that. So even though I'm saying to you, a calm and peaceful receiving process will get you where you want to go more quickly than a desperate pursuing process, you will never be, quote unquote, back where you started unless you just continue to fuel that fear and give up. If you will just keep going. You know, in 12-step programs, they say we trudge the road of happy destiny. Happy destiny is all around us, but sometimes it feels like a trudge. It does, and that's okay. You know, one of the problems I think with human beings is that we have this expectation that things should be easy, or things should be peaceful, or things should be happy, or things should be fun. This is human life, and it's beautiful and textured and tragic and gorgeous and unspeakably hard and so fulfilling, and it's why we're here. And I know I bring so much connection to you if you're suffering, because I know what it is to suffer, and I know the desperate feeling of wanting to be done with whatever, especially when you arrive here after already having walked such a long road. I mean, like I said, so many people come to this work after trying everything else, after already being told by 20 doctors that they're never going to get better, after doing every treatment, after having 3 failed surgeries, after having surgeries where one part of their body feels better and all of a sudden the other part goes out. I so get it. I've been watching and witnessing and partnering with people for half my life. So I understand. But let me just tell you, my dear, it really can get better. If the energy that I'm talking about today is something that you're just willing to engage in, willing to try out, it really can make the difference. Okay, well, I hope that you got something out of this. A little plug and plea that if you're enjoying this podcast, it is a huge favor to me. I know it's annoying, but if you take a moment to just go over to iTunes and rate and review it, tell me a couple lines about what it's meaning to you. I really appreciate it, and it helps other people find the podcast. You are worth it. Your road has been hard and long, but it does not have to be the same. It can get easier. You can have the bravery of shining a light into your darkest room and sitting there with deep love for yourself. And you know, your inner child is in there, and he or she or they are really interested in being heard. If you do struggle or not understand what that means or the power behind that work, I do have this inner child retreat coming up. Hopefully it won't sell out that quick. So go over to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the link on the resources tab to join me at that 2-hour mini retreat. I think you will really understand what you need to do for yourself after that. So do that if you need it. And I send you big love. I send you connection. I send you empathy. And I know that things can feel really hard. And I'm telling you, I know that they can be better, and they will. So don't lose hope. All right. Until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.